Islam International. It's just gone 30 minutes after 11. It is Wednesday morning, inshallah Aziz. In our program this morning, the first portion of the program, I'm going to discuss the issue that I started off discussing yesterday, and that is with regards to pornography, internet usage, etc. Inshallah Aziz, we will discuss a little further, looking at that book of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib, and inshallah we're going to take in understanding of exactly what that book is about and what lessons we can take from there, inshallah. And thereafter, we will be speaking to Hazrat Maulana Ahmed Johan Sahib and speaking to Maulana about the reality of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So those are two topics that we are going to be looking at, and we really need to take cognizance of this particular aspect with regards to media, devices, television. Not only the when we speak about television, we have the physical or the real television in front of our eyes of looking at that box or that flat screen, whatever. But here, when we speak about television, we are speaking about different things, meaning we are speaking about the availability of TV series, films, movies, etc. on our mobile devices and directly in front of us. We don't even realize that these things are there. They are affecting us, and they are influencing our lives, and there is participation or indulgence in these type of things, but the reality is that there is indulgence in these things, and there is participation in it. So that is what we are looking at for the next half an hour, inshallah. Thereafter, we will be speaking to Hazrat Maulana Ahmed Johan Sahib, inshallah Aziz. So that's our program lineup for this morning. Looking at that book of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib, the way the book that we spoke about was with regards to television, was with regards to all things with concerning media, etc. And we looked at this book also called Removing the Safety Net. This was another book that was Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib had prepared, and it's an interesting book indeed. It's a very long book, but it is with regards to families and with regards to the various emails asking for help and assistance and guidance that Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib had received. And speaking about the reality of TV and the reality of the availability of pornography, etc., that we Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib had spoken about, we look at how Hazrat Maulana clearly spelled out to us, and he says the greatest calamities of this current age is the abuse of the camera, that a person abuses the camera and makes it a means of going on to pornography, going on to different evils and different wrongs. And we look at how Maulana spells it out in particular reference to the article that he spoke about yesterday, called The Influence of Television. And then Maulana went further and described how one father threw the television out of his home when he found children not only watching something that was wrong, but also emulating what was happening on the television screen. And Maulana mentions in the article further, he says, there are many husbands who entertain thoughts of infanticide of other women when with their own wives, and they will when they are watching different actresses and television presenters. Many wives are guilty of the same infidelity, having seen or socialized with ghair maharim. Many women are so infatuated and obsessed with some soccer player, cricket player, that they become dissatisfied with their own husbands and spend their time fantasizing. Maulana says, had the person not viewed all those ghair maharim on the television screen and computer screen and had lowered his gaze in real life situations, then he would not have desired that which he cannot have, and there would not have been dissatisfaction with his or her spouse. Maulana mentions, we complain, there is no barakah in our homes, there is no barakah in our wealth, there is no barakah in our time. Our children are rebellious, the husband is having an extramarital relationship, the daughter has accepted Christianity, the son is on drugs, and the list of complaints does not end. And Maulana says, then who is to blame except the one who brought all of this haram into the home by purchasing the television and exposing the family to so much of sin? Maulana says, great ulama became bay'at upon the hands of Maulana Hakim Fakhruddin rahmatullahi alayh. He mentioned that there was a time that with the rising and setting of the sun, he saw nothing but Noor in Surat. Surat is a place in India. He said the atmosphere was one of Noor. The day commenced with Salah, Tilawat, Dhikrullah. He says, after the cinemas and television and videos flooded Surat, there was nothing but Zulmat, darkness. But the distraction of such entertainment, ibadah, becomes a forgotten duty. Maulana says that one wali of Allah, a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on visiting a particular home, mentioned that he perceived the sin of zina from the walls of that home. He was able to recognize this due to the purity of his heart. The residents of that home were not indulging in adultery, but they were watching the sin on television. He says, when the fire burns against a white wall, it blackens the wall. The Ahl-e-Dil, the people of understanding, with their purified hearts, see the fire of sins which has burnt and blackened the white hearts of the Muslims. So we need to take a lesson and we need to protect our children. So this is what Hazrat Maulana mentions in that regard. And we look also at different aspects that Maulana mentioned concerning the different things with regards to trust. And we look at how Maulana mentions concerning trust. He says, some of the emails that we receive are such that you do not know whether to believe what you are reading. The content is sometimes so shocking, but is there anything shocking anymore? He says, the intelligent ones take lesson. One mistake which many people incline towards is trusting just anyone. Their trust is sometimes plain foolishness. We say, don't trust just anybody and everybody today. So those pious and righteous ones who can be trusted are few and scarce. So these people trust others, especially friends. They trust their friends so much that they allow them free access into their homes, allow them to become comfortable with wife and children. Says that when problems start. Says, then we have wives who flaunt their husbands in front of other ladies. Husbands who flaunt their wives before their own friends. They want their wives to dress in a provocative manner. They want to show their wives off like trophies. And the idea is to be broad-minded. See, some daughters don't take the chance and don't just trust anyone with regards to your daughters, Maulana mentions. He says, in the days, these days, in the light of the cases that he was dealing with at that time, he says, even if a person has got a young daughter or daughters 9 to 12 years of age, even much younger, there should be a great amount of caution. We find so many people laid back, not concerned about what is happening with their own children. Maulana mentions they send their daughters alone to school, madrasa, college, holidays, etc. with other people, and then there is problems that come and arise because of that. Says now there is the demise of trust. People send their children, and the very same people whom they trusted break that trust. Says brothers-in-law who are taken as family members. As a result, it's free for all. Says if a woman marries all her brothers-in-law, there's no shame, no modesty, no parda. Says what are we ending up with? The poet says, when we broke the rules of parda, then the one we thought was our child turned out to be the brother's child. And he mentions with regards to that. And Hazrat Maulana mentions that our nafs as well. Nowadays we look at our own nafs, and we have to be concerned about how we look at our sisters-in-law, brothers-in-law, etc., and the close relationship Is it a family bond, or is it actually the nafs that desires those individuals? So there's another problem is Haji Bhais and Bains, that we have this relationship with those people in our Hajj groups, one big happy family, and people take off the parda, or there's no great parda, no proper parda observed between Hajj companions, and because of that, there are sins taking place. Sometimes Mawlana mentions here that there are sins taking place in the Haramain as well. And we need to be careful about the plans and plots that our children make, that we think that they are dressing up and they are just going out for the evening for a supper or something. But once we have dropped them off at the mall, they get picked up, they are taken to clubs, they're taken to different places as well. And then we need to be careful about our sons as well, and how we need to be careful. Mawlana mentions one great Allah wala pious person explained that a young unbearded boy, 8, 10, 12 years of age, is as vulnerable to males as a young girl is vulnerable to males. He says when someone sends his young handsome son away alone with some friends or family members, saying, take him for holiday, take him where you are going, wherever you are going, we have the situation where just the two of them will be traveling alone. This pious person said that this is equivalent to sending your young daughter away with some male. Situation is equally fraught with danger. That young boy is as defenseless and helpless as a young girl is. And then Mawlana mentions that once when my Shaykh, Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Damat Barakatum, at that time when Mawlana wrote the book, Al-Hafidhahu Rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him, was here in South Africa. He asked one person, where is your son? The person replied, he's gone with someone too, and he mentioned some distant place. He got very, very upset, and he said, how can you just send the young son away like that? Of course, sometimes there is need to get a lift, to be dropped off somewhere, taken to masjid at certain times. There's allowance for this, but there has to be caution exercised in that regard. Says, there was a reason why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cautioned us to beware of beardless youth. He said, do not stay at the beardless youth. And then Mawlana mentions with regards to supervision, says we have to supervise our children at all times. So the age is not a factor, in terms of children, whether it's an old person or a young person that we have to be careful of. Age is not a factor. Whether it is old family members or young family members, we need to be very, very careful about that as well. Then also the various Islamic gatherings, we need to be careful of how our children are going to spend the time there, how they are going to be monitored, the activities, the individual time as well, how that is going to be monitored. Then you have the influence of the media. Mawlana speaks about that. Media across the board condones, promotes and glorifies sins like homosexuality and adultery. People with no inclination towards homosexual behavior write to me, Mawlana says, saying that just viewing one film or movie which was based on homosexuality, and suddenly they feel they have no control over their own passion and lust when it comes to the same sex. Muslim teacher teaching at the Muslim school wrote the same, stating that he was a perfectly normal male. Just one film and his behavior changed so much that while teaching the boys, he became so attracted to some of those boys that he was finding it extremely difficult to control his evil desires. He was afraid of engaging in the sin and wanted desperately to overcome this weakness. Others too, including females, have complained along the same lines, that it is particularly challenging to restrain the nafs, and whilst they are trying to hold back, they fear falling into sins. So there is numerous avenues that are poisonous, that are challenging, that are difficult in our time today. This Hazrat Mawlana wrote years back, but we know the reality that this applies to us today as well. The book is called Removing the Safety Net, and I would advise every parent to read through it, particularly at this time before the holidays, when we allow that much of freedom to our children, and we give them money, we give them freedom, we give them a car, we give them chance to go on holidays, etc. But what are they coming back with? Or if they even come back, as the same individuals that we sent out. That is a question that we need to really consider, and we need to be careful of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all, and Allah ta'ala protect our families, and safeguard our iman, and safeguard the iman of our children. It's almost 29 minutes after 11. Coming up after the break, we'll speak to Maulana Ahmad Chauhan. Stay tuned. Radio Islam International, it's 29 minutes to 12. Welcome to our guest this morning, Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Chauhan Sahab. Maulana Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you this morning, Maulana?
Yeah, alhamdulillah, Allah shukr, sir.
Very, very well, alhamdulillah, Allah shukr. There is a drought around the country, but I believe Durban had a little bit of rain.
Yeah, Allah shukr, alhamdulillah, we had some drizzle yesterday, ma. But I think we should just carry on making lots of dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send good rain, beneficial rain, and Allah send it as quickly as possible, and alleviate the drought that our people are in.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our maghfirah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant barakah and blessings upon us.
Ameen, ameen.
Mawlana, we continue inshallah with our discussion on the shama'il of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Respected and honorable listeners of Radio Islam International, we've been discussing the sublime conduct of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam insofar as the sublime and noble sleeping habits and traits of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned. We've covered much of this topic. The last we were discussing dreams, the good and bad of dreams. And then we discussed beholding our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one dream and the various aspects with regards to that. We will terminate that with the two du'as that a person reads, one when one sees a good dream and one du'a when one sees a bad dream. And then inshallah we'll begin the discussion on the pillows or cushions that were used by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We discussed much of it whilst Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to bed whilst he was asleep. But inshallah we'll also discuss that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting, the usage of the pillows, and then we will go on to the clothing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about, or the clothing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to wear. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulil kareem amma ba'd. The du'as with regards to dreams, now very simple du'as that one should read after seeing a good dream. We see the hadith of Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He narrates that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when any one of you sees a good dream, that it has been granted to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it is only Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that is in control of our minds. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is in control of what will come into our minds. All that is controlled by Allah Rabbul Izzat. And we spoke about good dreams. It is a form of an inspiration that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts into our minds. So when one sees this good dream, Sayyidina Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that the person should say Alhamdulillah. And obviously then he will mention the dream more especially to the pious ulama for interpretation, etc. On the contrary, Hazrat Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhuma narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when any one of you sees a bad dream, then he should spit, we discussed that, onto his left hand side, if that is possible. If one is unable to spit on the left hand side for various reasons, then one should make as though one is spitting, and then he should recite the isti'adha. The isti'adha is simply A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. If one can remember that, inshallah, it will be of great value, especially when a person has bad dreams, or for that matter, a person has nightmares. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when any one of you sees a bad dream, he should spit thrice to his left and he should read this dua, for he will be saved from any harm. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min amali shaytan wa sayyi'ati al-ahlam. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min amali shaytan wa sayyi'ati al-ahlam. Now the first dua was just simply a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. But if we can remember this dua, we can learn it. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min amali shaytan wa sayyi'ati al-ahlam. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from the actions of shaytan and from evil dreams. So these are some of the very basic du'as. The other du'as that come in the kitabs of du'a a little bit more intricate, but I think one will suffice, it will suffice a person to recite these du'as. Going on more specifically with regards to using cushions, or for that matter pillows, are concerned in the sunnah and in the noble traits of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on many, many occasions used a cushion, or for that matter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used a pillow. And then we will find another very important aspect to it is that we offer a pillow or a cushion to somebody else to sit and to make them comfortable. So that is also a very, very Mubarak sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we will see in the hadiths that we will discuss. So on the one hand, very generally, Hazrat Jabir ibn Samura radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reclining against a pillow towards his left side. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was possibly sitting or virtually almost lying down, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on the left hand side of his body, and below that a pillow was there, or a cushion was there, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reclined himself on that. So now again, one is that we want to make ourselves a little bit more comfortable, so we will do so anyway. And one is to utilize the pillow and to remember at that time that this is the Mubarak Sunnah of my Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now I am going to become comfortable, but I'm not going to become comfortable only just because I want the extra comfort, but I'm using the pillow because it is the Mubarak Sunnah of my Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now that changes the entire scenario actually. It changes the whole thing, because now what was going to bring comfort to the body now becomes a very great ibadat for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the other aspect of it is decline or offering the cushion to someone else. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, just before we go into the hadith itself, he was a sahabi, a very young sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We discussed this at the very beginning. He used to write down the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the very life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had some very outstanding qualities, and he was a great worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a matter of fact, he had made a determination to himself that he is going to fast every day of his life, and every night he is going to stand in tahajjud salat the whole night, and he's going to make one khatam of the Quran Kareem every day of his life. So on the backdrop of that incident, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed of his practice of fasting daily. He had begun this practice. His father had brought this to the notice of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously being concerned about how overwhelmed Sayyidina Abdullah may become with the difficulties of fasting every day, of standing in ibadat every night, etc. So what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? He says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to my home to speak to me about it. Now again, whilst we are discussing another sunnah, a very, very important aspect arises from this hadith of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sayyidina Abdullah shows that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left all his work and he goes to visit Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu because of a real genuine concern that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered. He came in. So Sayyidina Abdullah says he offered Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a leather cushion, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had reclined against. So here we learn, in so far as the discussion is concerned, that when a guest comes to our home, so we may give the guest a cushion to recline upon, notwithstanding the fact that perhaps we may have the best of lounge suites or the best of sofas, chairs, etc., but to make the guest a little more comfortable, giving him the honor by giving him a cushion or a pillow is also an extreme deed of great honor that is loved by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this hadith, we learn that Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu had offered Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a cushion or a pillow. As a matter of fact, one of the great muhaddith, Allama Tibi rahmatullah alayhi, writes that in honoring the guest, the pillow should be offered to him, that this is a form of great honor for the one that visits us. Then Hazrat Jabir ibn Samura radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's home, and he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reclining against a pillow. When taking a rest, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would often support himself against a pillow. So it was very frequently used by our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, there is no harm in using a pillow. There is no harm in reclining against it. And it will bring more relaxation to the body, more comfort to the body. But let us try to do it, not because we want the extra comfort, but more so because it is the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we will find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaking about the fact that when somebody offers us a pillow, what should we do? So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, three items should not be refused. Number one is a pillow or a cushion. Then in this particular hadith, the word scented oil comes. In other ahadith, the word itar comes. And number three is milk. So the muhaddithin have written that these are such insignificant deeds that a person offers us. By offering a pillow, nothing is lost. They are not saying to us that use this pillow and take it home, or use this cushion and take it home. They are only offering it to us to use whilst we are visiting them, or whilst we are at their workplaces or their homes, etc. So it is so insignificant. One should not refuse that little honor that somebody is honoring us. Again, scented oil, or for that matter, ether, is something that is very insignificant in comparison to the other assets that we may possess. So hence, one should not refuse it. We spoke about this, that there are times, and because of this high-tech modern world that we have, some of the ether may be not real oil made of oud, or made of the original substances, but they may be highly synthetic, and a person may have an allergy. So one needs to find a very, very nice way, if one is going to be harmed by it, or of not accepting it, or accept it and then give it back to the person without applying it. And the third is that of milk, because we find that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua after he used to partake of milk, that Allah bless me in it, and Allah Ta'ala grant me abundance of it. So hence we find that our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also cherished that. Then we find that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used sometimes different kinds of pillows, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave different types of pillows. So on the one hand, we will find Hazrat Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrating that he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reclining on a pillow that had the hide of an animal, and the hair of it was not removed. So we see that around, the hide of certain animals the hair is not removed from the hide, from the skin. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used such a pillow, and the filling of it was the date palm fiber. So we will find that this was simplicity at its highest with regards to our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, if one is by the means to have such a pillow, then, and doing that because it is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be of extreme benefit to an individual. Now, this pillow, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had such a high regard for it that we find that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of her marriage, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given a pillow to Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, and this pillow had the filling of leaves, which was known as the iskir leaves, in that pillow. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, actually by doing this, he showed that he did not leave out the minutest detail when he gave Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, when he married her off to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It also shows the very simple life that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led. It was a life of abstinence from this material world, and also he indicated this, his pleasure of her also living a very simple life by giving her a simple pillow. And hence, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time showed a great deal of importance to the pillow. Then we also know that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the pillow when he would go to sleep. Like Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came home after performing the Isha Salat, thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his head to rest on a pillow, and that particular pillow had the filling of husk and straw. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also used that pillow at the time of sleeping, and again we find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's pillow was very, very simple. Then in gatherings, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also used pillows. For example, when delegations would come to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will recline upon that, and we find that Hazrat Shihab ibn Abbad rahmatullah alayhi narrates that he heard from some of the delegates that visited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the Abdul Qais delegation that came to Medina Munawwara to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These delegations came to our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Firstly, they were sent by the clans to come and accept Iman and Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Most of this happened after the 8th year of the Hijrah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Medina Munawwara, and these people would come, accept Islam, they would stay with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for several days, and in those several days they would learn deen, they would learn how to perform salat, how to make wudu, they would first hand draw from the treasures of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would then observe his akhlaq and his character, and everything, so to say, was an open book for them. That they were there, he was there in front of them, and whatever he did, they had full access to it, so that they would learn this perfect way of life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this narration, they say that when this delegation visited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they found Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the masjid, leaning against a cushion. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued leaning against the cushion throughout the meetings that he had with them. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not forego it, he did not forsake it. Now on this, some of the ulama have written that if it is an alim, a senior personality, and if he reclines against a pillow during the course of a gathering, then it is permissible, it is commendable also, and it is not regarded as an act of pride or arrogance, or for that matter as a kind of laziness that is shown. This was the sunnah of our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, as we discussed at the very beginning of this chapter today, that this is very meritorious and a great deed of giving a pillow or offering a pillow to someone. And we find that Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there is a very moving hadith that once Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu visited Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu happened to be leaning against a cushion at that time. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu offered Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu that cushion. Now if we look at it in terms of age, perhaps Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu would have been older than Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was at that time the Amirul Mu'mineen. And what does he do? He offers this pillow to Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And as soon as the offer was made, Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu exclaimed, Allahu Akbar, Sadaqallahu wa Rasuluh. Allahu Akbar, we all know Allah is the greatest. Sadaqallahu wa Rasuluh, Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have indeed spoken the truth. Now when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu heard this remark from Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu to relate the hadith that he was referring to, because when he exclaimed, possibly Allahu Akbar would have been sufficient, but saying Sadaqallahu wa Rasuluhu gives the impression that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned something about the pillow or the offering of the pillow. Then Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied that he once presented himself in the company of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaning against a pillow. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered the pillow to Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Again, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered the pillow to Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu and said, O Salman, Allah ta'ala will forgive the sins of a believer who in honor of another believer presents a pillow to him when receiving him as a gift, as when receiving him as a guest, so that he may recline against it. O Salman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the sins of a believer who in honor of another believer presents a pillow to him when he receives him as a guest, so that he may recline against it. Allahu Akbar, Sadaqallahu wa Rasuluh. Really, how true is our deen, how perfect is our deen, how honorable and noble was our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the Nabi of Allah, the best of the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu came in, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu that cushion or that pillow merely to get the reward and the thawab of the offering. So we come back to the very same theme that we had been discussing at the very beginning of today's discussion, and that is to honor another Muslim. To do something in the honor of another Muslim is very meritorious in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and offering him the pillow is in actual fact a token of the honor. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had done so. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had done so. So let us learn from the sunnah. Let us learn from the lives of these great personalities, the greatest of all humans, our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then of course, we find Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu also following suit. Now in the absence of a pillow, even then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he wished to recline on something, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take his sheet, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will fold it. That's how we will find that Hazrat Salman, Hazrat Safwan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that when he visited Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reclining against his red striped sheet, which was folded into a pillow. So in the absence of a pillow, if a person has a shawl, or a person has a sheet, or in our terms sometimes, a person can take his jacket, or jersey, or coat, or something like that, fold it up, and utilize that as a pillow, and that will also suffice as a sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When guests are in one's presence, then should a person utilize the pillow or not? So Hazrat Sayyidina Adi ibn Hatim radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that when he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the masjid at that particular time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up and taking Adi with him entered his home. A servant came and offered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a pillow, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken. So we find that even at that time, when guests had come, the servant did it in honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had accepted it, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had utilized it. So these are some of the ahadith of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to the Mubarak usage of a pillow or a cushion when Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam would sleep, or for that matter, when Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam will be awake. And all this is included in the beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we will conclude, inshallah, we will continue with the next chapter at a later date. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us all the ability and the strength to follow the sunnah of our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa atiyu ar-rasul la'allakum turhamun. Allah says, obey the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy may descend upon us, and we are all in need of the mercy of Allah. Sallallahu ala al-Nabi al-Kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.